Welcome to the City Heart Podcast. I'm Pastor Kevin Reed. Thank you for joining us today, and we pray that you're encouraged and enlightened by this message. Let's go ahead and jump into the Word. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to look in verse 24, and this is actually where we kind of started this series. And so it's going to be a great place to end this series today. As I said, I'm going to speak very, very briefly, and then we're going to jump right into Q&A. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 says this. It says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rolled, and the winds blew and beat against the house." I'm sure it was kind of like today. "Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundations on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the stream rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." And turn with me, stick something right there. We'll come back to that a little bit later, very briefly. We're going to jump into Mark chapter 12, and we've been reading this this verse all series long. It says this, and you've heard this before: "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." Bow your heads, let's pray very briefly. Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for the rain. We thank you that you continue to shower us with your blessings, with your love and grace and mercy. And Lord, we ask that today as we share, Lord, that you would be in the midst of us, Lord, that your presence would be felt across the room in every heart. Lord, I pray that you would touch us. You would open us up to hear what you'd have to say to us today. Lord, open our ears to be inclined to hear what you're speaking, God. Let us let our hearts not be stony and stubborn, God, but let us have tender hearts to your word, tender hearts to your will and to your way, God. I thank you for everyone that's here under the sound of my voice. And Lord, I pray that as we share today, Lord, that you would encourage us and you would challenge us and you would lift us up and you would move us into a greater place and a greater relationship with you. God, we give you the glory because you're so worthy. In Jesus' name, everybody said? Everybody said? Awesome. Well, as y'all know in the series, we've been talking about kind of this concept of really how relationships often suffer under this premise. And the premise is that relationships are meant to be broken, right? Doesn't matter what kind of relationship you're in, whether it's your family, you're kind of dating, whether it's your marriage or your friendships, that, man, inevitably those relationships are going to break down. They're going to be jacked up and messed up, and that's just all that's going to happen. That's all that matters. That's the only outcome. It's inevitable that your relationships are going to fall apart, right? And so we've been talking about that all this series, and so we've been saying that, man, it's vitally important for us to reject this conclusion of brokenness, to not kind of accept it, what the world thinks about relationships, how the world kind of views relationships and how, oh man, relationships, they're only going to get jacked up, so you might as well not date. Man, you might as well not have kids. Man, you might as well not get married. You should just be by yourself forever. And that's kind of how the world operates, right? Everything is just, it's going to break up. It's 50% of marriages. And you hear all these statistics and quotes. And what does it do? It's to discourage you from being in meaningful relationships. That's the point. So it's really up to us, and I'm encouraging you, to reject that foregone conclusion of brokenness. Don't accept it. I'm not going to accept that I'm not going to be in a relationship. No, don't accept that. Why? It's two things, and I said it's going to be real quick today. Two things. The first thing is this. This conclusion comes from the enemy. Why should I not accept this conclusion? Why should I reject this premise that the world has set? Because it comes from the enemy. It's not true. It's not real. I don't care how many statistics people get, even circumstances that happen. God designed relationships, and he cares about relationships, and he wants us to be in relationships, whatever they look like. And so it is up to us to reject it, knowing where it comes from, that, man, this conclusion comes from the enemy. And we've been saying all along, John 10:10, man, the thief comes only to do what? Steal, to kill, and to destroy, right? He wants to steal our joy. right? He wants to kill our dreams and our hopes, and he wants to destroy our relationships. That's literally his job. That's what he wants to do all the time. That's what he's setting out to do in everything, in every way. He's just continuing on the cycle. Man, what can I do to steal, to kill, and destroy? And we talked about the fact that, man, the enemy's power is really just influence. He has no authority over you or in your life. There's nothing that he can literally do to you except for try to whisper in your ear and get you thrown off from what God's called you to do. He can only kind of shoot arrows at you, and you can kind of do some of this stuff and move away from them. But a lot of times what we do is that we sit there and we allow the enemy to just talk and talk and talk and talk. Right, it's kind of like that person on your job where you're kind of in a meeting and they're the only person that you know, you're trying to get through the meeting and you're like, okay, man, we can make this meeting short, and that person just continues to talk, and it's like the presenter's saying something and they always got a response or a question. I know I'm not the only one that gets like frustrated by that, right? I was in a meeting a couple weeks ago and it happened, and it's like we're trying to get through the meeting, right? And it's kind of late. It was an after work meeting. Yeah, right, one of those, right? And so we're in the meeting, and this one person, it was like person would present the points, and he, you know, we're kind of moving on, and then the hand would go up. And so the whole room would be like, oh, man, come on, right? And then you had another stopping point, like, okay, it's right about time to go. The person would be like, oh, wait, that's what the enemy does to us. A lot of times we're in relationships, and it's like, man, something's going on. He just continually talks. Continually got something to say about your situation, about your relationship, about your circumstance that don't even apply to what you got going on. And it's all to distract. It's all to pull us away from what God is trying to do in us. He wants to ruin us and sow brokenness into our lives, to rob us of meaningful relationships. And I'm here to say today, man, I rebuke the enemy and his lies over our families, over our marriages, over our relationships. I just rebuke him. Like, you just can't stay. I'm not going to allow you to be in our presence. Why? Because what he's trying to do is lead us, and we talked about this so much in this series, he's trying to lead us to this place where we feel lonely. We feel by ourselves. We feel isolated and friendless with no one to turn to. We feel forsaken and abandoned and rejected and unloved. We feel outcast. We feel unwanted. That's what he wants. He wants us to get us to that place because he knows if we can get us to the place where we feel lonely, where we feel by ourselves, man, I've got you. If I can get you to a place where you don't think that anybody's going to have your back, that, man, relationships, that, man, they're not worth being in, that you're only going to feel rejected and unloved at the end of the day, man, I've got you. And what does that lead us to? We've been talking about this all series. It leads us to despair, where we feel hopeless, we feel discouraged, we feel distressed, we feel anguish, we're unhappy, and we're depressed. Right? It's terrible. And then from there, because we feel this way, we start to do desperate things. It leads us to desperation. We do rash or extreme behavior or thoughts or decisions automatically come. Why? Because we're in this place of hopelessness. Man, I have nothing else to turn to, nowhere else to go. Man, Man, I might as well just go ahead and, right? And then it leads to something terrible, right? And then you don't realize it's terrible until the morning after. And you're like, what did I do? And now you're in a place where you feel shame. And you feel hopeless. You feel like, oh, man, why did I even do that? Versus saying from the beginning, you know what? Wait. Recognizing that God has given you power. He's given you power, but this is it's a cycle of brokenness. But because we're lonely, right, it leads to despair. And because we're in despair, man, it leads us to do desperate things. And then because we're desperate, we've made now a desperate decision, we feel lonely again. And the cycle starts over and over and over. And we continue to go through it, and it feels like, man, how do I break free from this? How do I get out of this place? If you've ever felt trapped in this cycle, if you've ever felt like, man, this applies to me, know that you have the power through Jesus Christ, through your relationship with God, that you can break free from the power of the enemy. That God has actually given you the authority over the enemy so that his influence actually doesn't even matter. What he's trying to say to you, he can talk all he wants, but you don't have to follow it. Luke 10:19 says, look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. Over all the power of the enemy. Right? So any influence, anything he can say, I've already given you power over all of that. It's through the word. Man, how do I do that? What's that authority? What has he given us? He's given us his word. We read it there, Matthew 7:24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and does what? Puts them into practice. It's one thing for you to come here on a Sunday and hear me preach, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you came in the room. I'm glad you beat the rain out today. Hallelujah for it. Bring somebody else with you next time, right? But what's even more important than that is to practice what the word says, right? So not only am I hearing it, but I'm also doing it, right? Not only am I, man, when I get in that place where I start to feel lonely, am I saying, you know, I'm not just hearing, okay, I have the power of the enemy. Okay, it's about to give him seven on Sunday. I don't have to say in the situation, but I'm saying, you know what? I'm going to start saying some stuff. I'm going to start saying what the word says. I'm going to start putting some of this stuff into practice that, no, Lord, you know my heart. You, we're talking about Jeremiah 29:11 today. Man, Lord, I know you know the plans from my heart, plans to prosper me and not to harm me, plans to give me a hope in the future. So that means that I don't have to stay lonely because you've already given me a hope in the future. That means that I don't have to stay in this position. I don't have to accept this conclusion that the enemy is trying to throw at me, and he's consistently trying to do that. So that's the first thing, man, why should we not accept this conclusion of brokenness? Why should we reject it? The first thing is because the conclusion comes from the enemy. If I know it comes from the enemy, then if I can recognize that, right, then I know that I can reject it because it's not from the Lord. Second thing is this, real quick. Here's the second reason why you should reject it, because relationships are a blessing from God. Relationships are a blessing from God. They are established, they're enriched and fortified by him for you, right? So when I get into a relationship, when I get into a covenant relationship with a friend, if I'm dating somebody, and once I get married, in my family, those relationships are set up by God to bless you, to bring joy to your life, to bring happiness to you, to help you feel fulfilled. We talked about that, feeling fulfilled. That's what we're searching for. Where do we see this at? Ecclesiastes 4:9-12. And this is a really good verse, and the Lord just started to pour some stuff out to me this week, and I was like, oh, I didn't even see that the first time I taught it. But that's why you read, that's why you apply it, because he shows you more stuff the more you read it, right? Ecclesiastes 4:9-12 says this, says, two are better than one. Why am I in a relationship? Why? It's because two are better than one. I don't have to feel lonely because I should actually be in a group of more than one. Two are better than one. Why? Because they have a good return for their labor. This is why I should be in relationships. Why? Because it's not just me, but when I actually team up with somebody else that's not just me, I actually get more back for what I put in. So when I put something in, if I'm not working by myself, if I'm working with my spouse, if I'm working with the person that I'm dating, if I'm working with my bestie boo, my BFF, my best friend, right? If I'm working with them, right? What happens? I'm actually going to get back a better return for what we work on together. All right? Here, what's the second thing? Man, if either of them falls down, one can help the other up, right? So if you fall down, you by yourself. If you got somebody there, oh, they can reach out a hand and help you up. It's like on the basketball court, right? If you kind of do a play and you go for a basket and you fall on the ground, you'll see the worst thing you can have as a teammate is somebody that doesn't come and reach out a hand for you. What you're looking for, you'll see it, you watch any NBA game, the moment somebody falls down, they're doing this. Before they even open their eyes, before they even realize that they've fallen, they're looking. Why? Because they recognize the power of a teammate, the power of being more than one. They can help you up, but goes on to say, but pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them. This is why I have to reject this conclusion of brokenness. Why? I need somebody to help me up. There's going to be some days where I'm going to be by myself, and there's going to be some crap that's going on in my life, and I'm going to need somebody to knock on my door. Hey, what's going on in there? Are you okay? Are you all right? Do you need some soup? You need a hot beverage? Like, what do you need? You need somebody that's going to help you up. Sorry, that was my Big Bang Theory reference. Y'all forgive me. I love that's Michelle, right? You need somebody in those moments, right? Also, verse 11, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. What is it talking about? It's talking about the essence of being comforted, That's why you're in relationships. Why? Because when I get down, I need somebody that can actually not just be there materially, but that can be there emotionally with me, right? That can help me and say, hey, you know what? I love you. I care about you. You know what? You're going to get past this situation. I know it looks bleak right now, but man, God's got something on the other side of this thing for you. If you just hang on in there for 5 more minutes, I know it seems wrong and it seems like, man, everything's gone to chaos and hell in your life, but I know a God that I serve that's got me through the situation before, and he can bring you out of this as well. That's why I need to reject this conclusion of brokenness. I have to be there with somebody else. I need somebody that can help comfort me. Man, but says this, but how can one keep warm alone? You can't be comforted by yourself. There's only so much looking in the mirror and trying to build yourself up that you can do. After a while, you want to look at somebody else and say, hey, do I look all right? My wife come in. Do I look okay? Yeah, girl, you look great. Yes, every time. Always say yes, right? But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves, right? So even though I'm by myself, when I'm by myself, there's only so much defending that you can do. It's a whole different ball game, right? You know, one of my favorite things to watch, I love buddy cop movies. It's one of my favorite things to do. And what you see always in a buddy cop movie, y'all seem to do this, turn around real quick, right? Y'all seem to go back to back in a buddy cop movie. And what do? They start fighting off everybody else and you kicking and you punching in a buddy cop movie. Come on, that's like my favorite thing to see. Thank you, Jamar. Right, it's my favorite thing to see. Why? Because by myself, I might get my butt whooped. But if I have somebody else that's with me, man, we can fight some of this stuff together. We can fight some of this financial stuff. Man, we can fight some of this emotional stuff. Man, I need somebody else with me to help defend. And I love this last verse. This is why it's so powerful. Why? A cord of 3 strands is not quickly broken. Well, why does this verse end with that? Because the third strand is the Lord. We've been saying all series long that any relationship that we have is one that's based upon our relationship with God. That's what makes it unbreakable, is that God is in the middle of it. So he's saying, yes, husband and wife, great. Y'all are great together, but put me in the middle of that thing. Let me be in the mix. Why? Because if I'm in the middle of it, when we get together and we're braided up and we're strong, man, it's not as easily broken. The enemy can try to say stuff, man, but he can't come at us that hard. Man, if I'm a good friend and I have my other good friend and we're hanging out, you know what's going to happen? Man, if I get the Lord in the middle of that relationship, it's going to be even stronger. If I'm dating, if I'm a dude, and man, and I'm trying to get my stuff together, trying to get my game right, and I'm dating this girl, you know what? Maybe I don't need to do it by myself. Maybe I need the Lord. I'm telling you, you need the Lord. Maybe I need the Lord in the middle of that thing. Why? So I can date the right way. Maybe I'm female, and you cool, but I need the Lord up in the middle of this thing right here. Why? Because I want us to be strong. Right. Blessing. Relationships are a blessing from God. That's why I have to reject this conclusion of brokenness. That's why we've been saying not all relationships are meant to be broken. They're not. Fight that stigma. Fight that what the enemy's trying to say. For any relationship that you're in to be successful, whether it's friendship, dating, marriage, or family, your focus should be on becoming a solid you. The best you, the most solid you that you can be in your relationship with God. And if I'm solid, if I'm a brick, we talked about that 3 little pins at the beginning of the series. If I'm a brick, if I'm solid, I should be looking for another solid person to be in relationship with. If I'm brick, I'm not trying to necessarily team up with somebody that looks like straw. I'm trying to find somebody else that is solid. Why? So that when the Lord gets in the middle of that, when he's in the middle of that, we said that before, man, he's the mortar. If I begin to apply him to my life, man, and I tag team up with somebody else, now I've got me a really good friend. Man, they're trying to do the same thing. They're trying to love the Lord, and they're trying to honor God with their lives, and they're trying to be the best they're going to be. Man, and we tag team up together. You know what we've done? Now we've bonded, and we're even stronger than just me by myself. And you know what happens, right? I got my good friend. You know what? Now maybe I find me a good-looking dude or a good-looking girl that I'm dating, and this person is trying to do the same thing, and they've got the Lord in their life intertwined in all the stuff that they're doing. You know what that does? Man, we start tattooing together. That makes me even stronger.
Then I start to come and hang out at church and serve and come in a small group, and I get some other friends that are trying to do the same thing I'm doing, and they're solid. And you know what happens? We get even stronger the more that we connect and build relationships. And so when the enemy tries to come, like the verse said, when he tries to come like today and it's raining and the wind's blowing and stuff shaking, he can't just come at me. You got to come at everybody I'm connected to in God. All these solid people that I've now surrounded myself with, we're all connected now. That's how you build an unbreakable relationship. Can't do it by yourself. Can't do it by yourself. You're going to have to fight for your relationships. You're going to have to fight. You're going to have to fight. You're going to have to stand strong in your relationships, because the enemy is, as much as you might be surrounded, and I'm saying to do that, the enemy's still going to try to come at you. So you have to be willing to stand strong and to fight against the wind. You got to, when the wind blow, I'm going to stand strong. I'm going to fight. I'm going to fight for my marriage. I'm going to fight for, to still have good friends. I'm going to fight for my dating life. I'm going to fight for all. I'm going to fight for my family. I have to. If I'm going to be the person that God's called me to be, if I'm going to be solid, I need some other people with me, but I have to do the work to make sure that I continue to have strong relationships. That's how you build an unbreakable relationship. Come on, babe. We're going to jump into Q&A.
Thank you for checking out this message from City Heart Church. If you'd like to hear more from this series, or if you'd like to hear more about our church, you can check us out online at cityheartjackson.com, or you can check us out on social media at cityheartjxn.